You are about to receive messages that may be harmful to your mental state. Your sense of reality will be questioned. Your view on things will be altered. You are now part of the meta. The meta controls everything. The meta determines what will and will not happen. You are watching the Meta Show.
And good afternoon, everyone. We are live and the cameras are screwed up. I don't know what's going on here, but that's because we're on the wrong screen. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, God. Welcome to the Meta Show. Today is August 29th. Are we muted or not?
Let's make sure the sound even works here.
Sound better work.
Oh my God,
sound
we just got sub-bombed. Holy crap, what just happened?
We are getting sub-bombed too.
Holy crap.
There you go. I had one job
TV, 20
and
tier
I was
one
too busy
subs.
Hitting the wrong button.
Wow. Thank you. Wow, that's... are we muted? I don't know if we're muted or not.
We're good.
To figure out.
We are
okay,
all set. It was just the cameras.
That was an incredible sub bomb. Thank you very much for supporting the channel. That was, okay. Well, we're off to a start. You guys have, I'm wearing baby blue today. We're having a very important Lifetime or Hallmark special about how to talk to your children about Goonswarm. We're actually not gonna have the whole show be about this, but there was such an explosion of insanity on Reddit, and some non-insane things, some actually like really interesting discourse that we're gonna like pick apart later. But Asher has come on board. I did not expect the entire week's like news cycle to be surrounding our goons, good or bad. I think it's a little weird, but we're gonna touch on that a little bit. And I would like to talk about war stuff because the war is going really well for us, which is why I think that there's so much goons are evil people kind of stuff. This usually happens in a hell war, like when things are going well for us, our haters go nuts about how we're evil people. Whatever works. Brisk, what are we doing? I think you actually have a soapbox today.
Well, I mean, my soapbox is not that big a deal. I mean, here's essentially what we wanted to do this week, and Mittens touched on at least the start of the show, and talking to Asher about the post that he made on Reddit. We want to have basically a non-herf, non-blurf, non-propaganda. Let's just have a conversation about what's going on in the game in terms of the fights on Reddit between who's good and who's bad, and bad things that happened in the past and who has disavowed this and whatever. One of the things that I wanted to at least say at the beginning is I want everybody that's watching this show to recognize that we are here to entertain you. That's what we're doing. You know, we try to bring information that's fun. We try to talk about news. We give you spin because you want spin. You come to this show to watch the spin. The spin is part of the Meta Show. It has been part of the Meta Show from the very beginning. We try to be funny about it. We try to do cute segments that you guys like and are amused by. We do that. And there are some times when we have biting humor. And sometimes the best humor pokes fun at people. Sometimes it pokes fun at me. Sometimes it pokes fun at Mittens. Sometimes it pokes fun at Asher and pokes fun at other people. What I want to say is, if you all think we've ever crossed the line, I'm sorry. We're doing our best to provide a good show. We want you to be here. We want you to enjoy watching. And we want you to come back next week. And part of the fun of this show is we get into it and we say fun, crazy stuff and we do propaganda type things. But at least I can't speak for anyone else but myself. And that's another thing I want to talk about here in a second. I can't speak for anybody else but myself. But I'll tell you this. I don't hate anybody. I love everybody that plays this game. No matter who you are, even Omeka, I love you all. And I'm having fun playing this game with you, and I want to keep doing that, and I hope that you guys have fun with us. So don't ever think anything that I say, at least, is personal or designed to be hurtful. I'm just trying to have a good time and make jokes. And sometimes the jokes aren't funny, and as I always tell everybody, I'm sorry you didn't like that joke. Maybe you'll like the next one. But the other thing I want to make clear is one of the things that frustrates me is it's very easy and very... It's lowest common denominator type behavior to blame a group for the actions of one bad person in that group. So say there's one bad poster or one person on Reddit that has a flare behind his name and it's not flare bait, it's real. And they happen to be on the other side and they bad post all the time. It's very easy to say, oh, well, they're all awful. Look at this guy. Don't do that. Take people as they are. Judge them for what they do and what they say. don't judge an entire group of people based on one person, no matter who that person is. I think that's not fair to all of the other people, especially when we're talking about groups that have thousands and thousands of members. You know, trust, take people as they are. Treat them the way that you would be treated, and maybe we can all hold hands and sing Kumbaya and everything, and then go back to blowing each other up and not worry about it. But I wanted to at least say that and make that clear, because I don't want anybody here walking away from the show upset or feeling angry or bad because they think that we were mean to them on purpose, or that we're trying to dox them, or we're trying to do psyops or mess with their minds. At least I'm not. And I want to make that clear, because I think this show is fun, and we get 700 to 1,000 people every week who watch the show, and thousands more that watch the videos on demand. And you guys come here to see something fun and entertaining, and we try to provide that. And I think we're doing a pretty good job of it. And I think the fact that you're all here demonstrates that. So that's all I wanted to say. I'm off my soapbox. That was actually a soapbox speech this week.
That was
pretty soapboxy.
That was soapboxy. You know, I have mixed feelings about this whole thing, and like we're going to dive into it in detail, but I am surprised, right? Like, you know, from a certain perspective, like EVE Online is supposed to be the hardest and most competitive. Like, it's the most competitive and most complicated. It's a nexus of complexity and competition in terms of online gaming. And one of the things that kind of annoys me when we get into like the morality discourse is that usually the people, well, I don't know. I think that it is a very strange set of standards where half the time, most of the time on EVE, people are beating their chests, and especially like in NullSec stuff, and people are flinging shit at each other and what have you. And then periodically there are these moments, usually when it involves Goonswarm, where suddenly it's got to be like a hug box. And like, I'm not trying to be shitty about this, right? This is a genuine sort of interesting kind of thing to me, is that there are periodically these things where suddenly if somebody is insulting you, it is bad, and that is evidence that they are evil, toxic people, right? Like, one of the things, like, the people who've been complaining about like the meta show, or like me saying mean things in the meta show, if you insult me, like generally speaking, I will insult you back. That's how it works, right? And that's how EVE normally works. But one of the things that is curious to me from like a sort of intellectual perspective, I guess, not even like getting mad about it or like try getting sort of sucked into the frame in the battle, is that people go from like screaming fuck you, die in a fire in local in these fights, and then they get on Reddit, and then suddenly it's like, oh my God, it's so awful. The Mitanni called me an incel, right? When you're screaming, fuck you in the game. So one of the difficulties that we have here, and I think one of the reasons why Asher's post was so interesting to me, is like, if people, like, let's say NCDOT, Band of Brothers, NCDOT, PanFam, any of our enemies got up there and they made the same post that Asher made, saying that their side are the good guys and their side are the heroes. Everyone thinks that they're the good guys. Everyone thinks that they're the heroes. That's human nature. That's how this whole thing works.
And no one's a bad guy in their own story.
Yeah, exactly. My like, what was fascinating to me about the reaction from not the EVE community, because it wasn't from the EVE community. Like, I think that actually, amusingly enough, when I looked at the insanity that Reddit had become for the last like 3 days or so, I think it was like a snuffed out post basically going, Jesus Christ, people, what the hell is wrong with you? Just go back to screaming fuck you at each other, and can we blow each other up in the spaceship game, right? Like, get over it. Like, what is this? And that's sort of like my attitude towards it. But one of the things that was interesting to me about this whole shit show is the fact that, like, if NCDOT said that they're the good guys and they're heroes, I'm not going to rush out onto the meta show. I'm not going to rush out to Reddit. I'm not going to freak out as if somebody like pissed on a crucifix. Not like I'd care about that, but the sort of like some serious blast.
Some of us would.
Kind of thing. Some of us would, right? But it was really interesting to me because, like, when Asher like whispered the words, like, goons and friends are the good guys, that set off a very small minority. Like, it's a very, very small minority. Like, most people in this video game do not give a flying fuck about goons or NCDOT or any of this shit. They think we're all a bunch of pretentious NullSec assholes. Guilty as charged.
Absolutely correct.
But it was astounding for me to see that Asher said a statement which is objectively true, which is, you know, Goonswarm are not evil people. We think we are the good guys. That is the same for everyone everywhere. And that touched such a nerve from like this sort of like, I mentioned this on the last meta show, and I was herfing a lot of Boris about it. I was very, very bloody knuckles last meta show, but I called them like the Praxis truthers. There are people who will, no matter what we do, no matter what we say, basically interpret anything we do in a bad faith light. Like, so when I say the Praxis truthers, if you weren't around for last week's show, there is a group of people that were insisting, and this is the same crowd that were so upset about Asher's post, insisting that Goonswarm intentionally crashed the node in KVN using our Praxises, and it was just this insane conspiracy mongering, because what actually happened was an NCDOT fleet smart bombed a Goonswarm jacked off fleet and the node crashed because shit happens, right? That's all it was. But this small group of people were just absolutely insistent that there was a conspiracy involving the Praxis people. And these are also the same people that kind of flipped their shit over Asher's post. So we're not going to spend the entire meta show talking about this. I mean, it's very clear, like, you insult me, you insult my people, I will insult you back. This is not like, I don't understand why, but it's a bad faith argument. Like, the whole thing is like trying to sift the real arguments away from the bad faith arguments. And so we're going to spend a little time about this today. And Asher is here to talk about his post. But we also have a lot of like real space news that's going on. Like, there is actually a war that's taking place. I think that one of the reasons why, and this is something that is going to offend the Gurgoons Praxis Truther crowd even more, but I've seen this pattern before in past Hell Wars, where when the momentum is now on the side of the Imperium and their allies, like when we're doing well, we have stalled the enemy's advance. They've like diverted their forces to Fountain to do cleanup after the big like 1,000 Titan move op, which was not big enough to really be a threat to Delve. So they moved over to Fountain. And I think that there is an element of that in this. I think one of the reasons why these guys are going goon man bad and basically having these explosions of self-immolating drama on Reddit, is because they know at a certain level that we have been very successful in stalling their advance and removing their momentum. Their big Titan move up wasn't really what it was supposed to be. And so this is the pattern, is that group that's like, oh my God, I'm obsessed with getting rid of goons, goon man bad. Like, the ones that are the most crazy, crazy, crazy of the haters. That is then when they start going, instead of bragging about their victories in the game, they start basically saying CCP needs to ban goons. Goons are bad. The Mitanni is evil. Digi is evil. People evil, evil, evil. And then the morality screeching kind of gets involved in this because their big invasion is not really going anywhere. So we'll talk about that too.
I think the timing is like you said, I think there is certainly a strategic element to it, let's say that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Let me back up a little bit. In the chat is your essay, and people have been asking in the chat, what happened? Did something happen? This is the thing, nothing happened. What happened Asher decided to sit down and write a pretty well drafted, long, maybe 2,000 word essay on why he thinks the goons are the good guys. So tell us about that post and why you did it and what you said for the people that didn't see it.
Right. So I think that, like, it's been a narrative I've seen a lot. And I think there's obviously, like, there's different views about it too. Like there's sort of this 2020 view, which I don't ascribe to, that, like, you cannot say anything negative about anyone in the game or you're attacking them personally. If someone says Asher is a coward or crazy or whatever, I think you're looking at my in-game actions and making what I would say is a wrong, you know, belief, but you're happy to have that belief because that's my in-game persona. And you can say that I'm a coward, I'm crazy, I'm dumb, whatever it is you want to say about my in-game persona, because you don't really know me in real life. Like, you're talking about my actions in the game, the way I talk, and like, that's what leads you to believe. Now, there's some people who, if you say that about someone in-game, like, or about their game persona, they will say, like, oh, you're attacking their mental health, and I don't buy into that at all. Like, I repudiate that. But one thing I wanted to, like, so, like, not buying into that framework, but still, I see a lot of attacks on us, like on Goonswarm, on goons, and I wanted to address it because I didn't think that they reflected who we are today. And I think that probably is because we haven't done a great job of showing a lot of the changes we made. Like, they were done internally, and a lot of our policies are, you know, to keep stuff internal. We don't talk about drama. We don't, like, if we kick an FC because he did something wrong, we don't make a post on Reddit and explain what he did wrong. We don't argue it in public.
We don't buy into the frame. Let me jump in here, because that's actually a reflection of my policy, right? And, you know, Asher talked to me about this thing, and I'm like, I think that this whole post thing you know, maybe it'll do some good, maybe it won't. I had no idea that the reaction would be so extreme. But one of the things that I learned through some extremely traumatic and unpleasant experiences is that for some people, nothing is ever good enough, right? Like if you fuck up and you apologize and you do your level best to make good, for a certain crew of people, if they're operating in bad faith, you have to determine whether people are operating with you in good faith and bad faith. And I think that this is something that applies beyond Eve, right? If you start accomplishing things in any aspect of life, you will attract opposition, right? Because if you, you know, if you want to try to make enemies, just start changing something or tell the truth, one or the other, like you're going to piss people off. And one of the things that I took away from the whole wizard hat stuff was no matter what you do, you will be tarred and feathered for things that you didn't necessarily do, right? Like the wizard hat thing was gross. I felt really bad about it. I apologized. I gave the dude all my money. That drama didn't even kick off until like 3 or 4 days after the Alliance tournament, the Alliance panel. And because nobody thought it was a big deal at the time, it was only, and there was also this meta play. And these are all things that are, there's articles about, you can investigate it if you want. But what I discovered, and it's a sort of unpleasant, but I think necessary realization, is there are always going to be people that you can't satisfy, that you can't win over, that are going to be calling for your head no matter what you do. If you apologize, it's not enough. They'll say that your apology is not in good faith. If you did anything, they will impute bad faith in your actions because their criticisms of you are not in good faith, right? Like this was something that happened 8 years ago. And if you, I've realized from like looking at the post histories of some of the people that are like really have it in for me that are still like upset about the whole wizard hat thing. And if you dig into that, you'll find some really interesting stuff. You are never gonna be able to win everybody over. So one of my takeaways from the entire wizard hat incident was to literally just not bother trying, right? Like, and so like with Asher's post, like again, like when we kick out somebody for being toxic, some like a high profile FC gets thrown out an airlock, we don't even, my policy has been, Asher obviously has now engaged, but my policy has been to not buy into the framework, right? Because if somebody, like let's take Omeka Gold for an example, and I'm wearing a, you know, this is blue suit mittens, this is me being sort of nice and intellectual here, I'm not trying to be shitty about this, but if you try to engage with somebody who is operating in bad faith and you try to like meet whatever standards they have to say that you are a good person, you are not only are you giving your power over your, you know, a judgment, you're letting this person who's operating in bad faith judge you, you're never going to satisfy them, right? It's never going to be enough. So what we kind of did is we really kind of closed our ranks, especially after things like the casino war. Like when you have our enemies getting together and cheating by using cheated ISK and like saying also all sorts of bunch of shitty things about you, it does sort of create this fortress mentality of like, why should we even bother talking about the truth? Because our enemies don't care and they'll never be satisfied. So, you know, I think that this in many cases is a not necessarily good policy. I think there is probably some value to talking about some of the shitty things that have happened and saying what really happened, not with an eye to win over that tiny percentage of people who are the Praxis truthers that are going to be gurgoons no matter what. You know, I'm sure that there's going to be some people that are going to be watching this meta show that are going to be talking about how I'm lying about everything and how I'm just trying to display empathy or humanize my...
Yeah, I mean, just...
You will never win your haters over.
I don't think you should... That's true. But I don't think you should pre-respond to them because like that, and that's the reason why,
I mean, it sucks.
One of the reason why I know it's not fair, but it is what it is. Like this, one of the reasons why I wanted to make a post is because I think because there's this group of people, this, you know, 10% of people that will never, ever, ever be satisfied unless you literally nail yourself to a cross and die.
But here's the thing, and I agree with that, yeah. But listen, guys, sometimes when we do this, we're not doing it because we're trying to garner favor or make it look good. We're doing it because it's the right thing. Yeah. Like, look, I'll be honest. I've been mean to Omeka, and I've said some nasty stuff to him. He said some nasty stuff back to me. Do I feel bad when he gets my goat and I respond in kind? Absolutely, because I try to be better than that. You know, I'm a politician in real life. I can't afford grudges. I don't have the luxury of holding grudges. I have to be able to forgive and forget because the person that I fight with one day is somebody I'm going to need to work with the next day. So I try to live my life that way. And I know that some people in Goons don't like Omeka and they say nasty stuff to him. And I feel bad for him when he gets that response. And I get frustrated with him when he responds in kind. But I understand that. And it's true. But I think all of us, sometimes, you know, when you give the apology, it's not just because you're trying to apologize or you're trying to make whatever controversy go away. It's because you're seriously contrite. And that's one of the things, Mittens, I just want to say, I saw the apologies. I saw what you did after the Wizard Hat stuff. And you took your punishment. You never complained about it. You accepted it. And you walked away. And I've never seen you do anything remotely close to that again. So I don't understand why people keep bringing it up 5 years later, acting like you have not changed at all. Because it's obviously not true.
8 years later.
Eight years later.
Some of them you can never satisfy. And like, here's the thing: there was a lot of stuff happened around that situation, and it's tough for me because I can't really talk about, like I said, we did some articles about it, we investigated it. But one of the things that's fascinating about human nature, and this is a problem in all political situations, and fundamentally speaking, the Wizard Hat thing has become political because of our enemies and the way that they're not all of our enemies, but some of these people. Is the story that is told, and there's a lot of these things. There are certain like campfire stories that are told about like goons did this or goons did that, that are just objectively not true. And most of the time, one of the things that bothers me a lot is that when I see these haters, like the really hardcore ones, again, like if you're just new to Eve and you find out that I'm a jerk who put a wizard hat on his head and told somebody to kill themselves on live TV and you think I'm an asshole and you don't know anything about it beyond that, like, you know, fair play. Right. But for the people who have been like screeching about this for 8 years, they've had the opportunity to investigate it. Like, I can't.
That's what I wanted to address is that okay. is that you like we had.
But it's not just about men's. Other stuff has happened, too.
Right. No, you had that. You had that incident. You made a dumb mistake on the spur of the moment. I think it's been grossly overblown, but you can still say, hey, it was a dumb mistake. I apologize.
I am disappointed in myself.
You said that at the time. I linked your apology at the time. It's not right. like you're like 8 years later, you come around, you know, you, at the time you said, yeah, that was a mistake. I'm sorry.
The guy
accepted your apology too. Yep. Like the actual person aggrieved accepted your apology.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and as an organization, we've had stuff like that too. I think Digi is a real shame on our organization, and one that I think that we even though we've publicly apologized for it, I think
we should talk about the Digi thing because I don't know if we ever actually said anything in public about that.
Okay.
And I think it's a reasonable thing to bring up. So we had a counterintelligence director who he hasn't been active in like 5 years, I don't think. Who went way too far. He made a post on Kagutsman. And this was basically like he did a couple of different things that we sort of cracked down on. And then he was not in that position anymore and was not doing those things. But I don't think we said anything about it in public to everybody else. But in one incident that is just inexcusable and we are not going to defend it in any way, shape or form, Digi went out and this was I think 5-6 years ago, Durherder made a post about it and blew up in Durherder's face. But the reality is that Digi tried to out somebody by implying that he had found somebody's OkCupid profile. And we're not going to talk about who that was or what happened, but you know, that's not behavior, you know, considering that like one of the things that we have implemented in Goonswarm that I'm very proud of is the cultural revolutions where we went through and we cleaned up our act as an online gaming community, like way before anybody else did. Like you ban racism, ban sexism. If you are homophobic, we throw you out an airlock, like all these things. Because I am sort of like a utopian socialist at heart, I guess. And I am trying to like create my vision of a perfect society despite human imperfections. Like that's kind of like the whole Imperium project is like a sort of like a secret goal of mine is it fiddling with trying to find a way to make a ideal tribe on the internet. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff that goes into that. But another thing that Digi did that I thought was really uncool was he would like punish people. He would say that like you fucked something up and I'm going to make you take a picture of yourself with a plunger on your head and then post it on goonfleet.com. And I was like, what the fuck is this shit? Like, you know, one of the challenges is shit flows uphill. Like if you are the alliance leader, you are responsible for everything that happens, right? You're responsible for your wizard hats. You're responsible for your plunger heads, even if you didn't do it. If one of your guys goes off and they shit the bed, it's on you to clean it up. Right. And I don't have to like that. It is what it is. And we put a stop to that because it seemed like the guy was going mad with power and doing a bunch of really shitty things. And so that was the end of that kind of stuff. But we'd unfortunately, you know, we didn't really go off and say public relations like here, we're going to go tell her somebody who is like screaming and howling about how we're the worst people in the world. We're not going to like acknowledge this. We're just going to quietly take care of our own mess and, you know, deal with it because, you know, that's not cool. But, you know, I have no problem saying, because Asher has brought it up, like, that was not cool. We cleaned up our act. You don't see Digi around anymore doing that kind of thing. But I will say, one of the things that's weird about the Digi thing is, like, the Plungerhead shit was fucked up. Him trying to out somebody was super fucked up. But the weird Digi thing is there is this story that this guy named Marlona Sky posted on an old forum that isn't around anymore. Marlona Sky was a fucking maniac. Like, this was like a real, like, loopy fucking dude.
He's in Marlona now, actually, believe it or not.
That's true. Marlona Sky himself. But he posted this, and I think this was on Scrap Heap Challenge, posted this insane thread accusing Digi of, like, putting, like, stalking his niece and putting bee stickers on some little girl's backpack and, like, hiding in bushes and stuff. It just made up nonsense. And this is, I think, like, a good indicator of, you know, you're dealing with somebody who is one of these praxis truthers, which is one of these just absolutely obsessive, like, Gargoons type, is when they're telling stories about Digi putting bee stickers on people's backpack. Like, somebody just made that up, dude. Like, one of the things that you need to keep in mind when you're, like, evaluating these people who are, like, the really intense, like, have been obsessively hating goons for years and years and years and, like, can't seem to get a grip, is that they lie and they make stuff up, and, like, they will latch onto a story that is absolutely 100% not true, and they will spread it around to anyone and try to build the whole, you know, goons are evil people and look what they did. And that's one of the reasons why I've never really bothered with a thread like Asher's, because in my world, I look at these people posting these things and I think to myself, you can't reach these people. You can't let your haters rule your life. You know, why even bother, right? Why even bother trying to defend ourselves? Right. Because are literally just going to make up stories,
you're not talking to the haters. You're talking to the people who don't have all the information and are influenced by the, you know, the fake stories, and don't hear what happened with the real ones. And so that's why I wanted to address it.
Look, I mean, the definition of integrity that I've always used is being willing to do the right thing, even if nobody sees you do it.
Yeah.
And there are times when we have to be the better people and step up and admit when we've made mistakes. And regardless of whether it's good PR or bad PR, or whether the people that we're apologizing to accept the apology or anything, we do it for ourselves. And that's why, like, look, I don't like when I'm mad or I get angry and I yell at somebody or I do something. And it's very rare. You guys, you know, I'll be honest, at least from my perspective, I get crap coming at me 1,000 miles an hour, 24 hours a day. It doesn't matter. Whether it's real life or it's in Eve, it's just, you know, anybody that is of a certain stature, you know, you're going to get stuff thrown at you and you got to be ready for it. And I try never to respond in kind with that type of stuff. I do my best to be good about it. And I think that's all we really can say. And I think to wrap up this segment, because we're about halfway through the show, we have news and we have other stuff we got to do.
Let's talk about just some space war. Yeah.
To be clear, just guys, be nice to each other. Go out there, kill each other and Eve, and then go out of the bar afterwards and have a beer and laugh about how much fun it was. That's it. Let's just play some Eve. And not worry about, you know, too much more of these feelings.
If somebody says go fuck yourself, just tell them to go fuck themselves back. It's not, you know,
we
just
say thank you. May I have
another? We insult each other all the time in this game. You don't have to go crying about, oh my god, mean man insulted me. Whatever. Like, you insult somebody, they insult you back. It's Eve Online. Grow up. Get over it.
Exactly.
And let's talk about war, for God's sake.
All right, we're gonna go to our Nullsec Power Hour. We're gonna talk about some war. And we're back. The Nullsec Power Hour this week is there a war? I mean, there's a war, but is there a war? I mean, what's been going on? I haven't seen anything. And I'm not being there's no Fountain Frank yet. We got that later. I mean,
okay. Well, I'll explain to you, like, what's going on.
What's going on? Because I'll tell you, it seems kind of quiet.
Yeah,
I'm not
is.
Getting rage pains
so
every day.
We defended those final three keep stars in Fountain with just subcaps really effectively. And so much so that we forced them to move their super capital fleet across the galaxy. They dropped somewhere between 7 and 45 keep stars on the route and moved their super fleet. And now they're reinforcing them with Titans. And so we don't have any way to beat Titans without, you know, using our own. Like, that's just a thing. So, you know, we've effectively given up those last two keep stars. And a really weird thing happened today. They reinforced the YTAC 2 keep star and the armor timer came up and they didn't hit it. They didn't do it.
Is there any rational reason for that beyond?
Yeah, we offered like no defense either. So, like, we're done with those Keepstars. We've already evac'd all of the defenses. You know, I pulled, like, I think 850 subcaps out of there. So it's, you know, it's confusing.
Maybe it's a it could be a communications issue.
It could be. I mean, I don't think it is. I have a theory, and my theory is that they are. Something has them spooked because they're playing for time. Because as soon as those Keepstars die, their members will go, well, why are we still sitting here?
They have to attack Delve. Come on, baby, bring it to Delve. You so know, if, put your Titans on our Keepstars in Delve.
So the only reason to not do the armor timer is because they here's the timeline. So they reinforced KVN. We didn't offer any defense. They saw us evacuating, so they know where they're not going to defend them. They know they can kill them anytime. But then Fraternity ref the YTAC 2 Keepstar. And I don't think that was authorized by like high command. I think it was just some, you know, guys, you know, saying, hey, let's ref this Keepstar. And it ruined their plans. So now they didn't do the armor timer because they have a timeline where they're trying to delay. And they can't tell their guys, oh, just sit around and wait another week. So they intentionally plan to slow play these timers. And now Fraternity has accidentally exposed that plan. Now, the actual reason they're doing it is obviously up for speculation. But it is really unusual that they decided not to kill an undefended Keepstar, which is their stated goal, is to kill these Keepstars, but they're not doing it.
And that's one of the things I don't get. And I mean, I accept the premise that they're playing for time. But I don't understand why they're doing that, because that doesn't benefit them. That benefits us.
It helps us.
It's great for us. I mean, I'm not going to complain. It's just like this. I think that maybe they realize that keep. You know, I don't get it. I'll tell you what. Like, we prepared all week. Like they did this big move op, right, where they were going to move. It was like I don't know how many Keepstars it ended up being, like 12, 13 Keepstars, whatever. To move their supers from FAT all the long way around. And, you know, when Vili is sending pings, and by the way, we're done with the Kumbaya portion of the fucking meta show. So we're
back into regular meta show time. So if you were tired from the other stuff, come back. This is the good stuff.
So I think that they kind of exhausted their pilots by doing this really long move op, and Pro God Legend had bragged about, oh, it's going to be 1,000 Titans. And I don't even think that also incidentally 1,000 Titans in 2020 is not that impressive. We have way more than that in Delve, and you guys didn't even break like 1,000. So I think that they could have pivoted, but it caught me by surprise. We were preparing all week for, okay, they're going to finish their move op. And the logical thing to do, because they told their members this, that they were then going to attack Delve and Quirius. So we were preparing for them to like drop a keep in NPC Delve or in a system in Quirius that they had snapped an iHub in, because that's like a logical invasion vector. And it's important. Here's the thing, guys. Like, momentum is very important in war if you're on the offense, right? And you build momentum by getting everybody together in a move op. But it's very important when you do a move op to actually do something that's like fun and satisfying with it, to like get some wins for your guys. So like if they had stormed the gates of Delve, I would have been delighted because we were preparing for that. And please, please, please come into our parlor and put your fucking Titans on our Keepstars, and we'll finish this. We'll end this. You know, you guys are going to come burn Delve. But what they ended up doing was, and I think it's because they realized that their members were exhausted. The move op was a huge mess. People were getting trapped halfway down the chain. Like basically their entire org was shifted to moving people down this Keepstar chain for like a week. And if they had come into Delve and started attacking us on our Keepstars, we would have destroyed them, because we have more stuff than them. Their numbers were anemic. And then when they put Titans on the what was it, like the Y2 keep, or it wasn't the Y2, it was, I guess, KVN keep. They only put like 250, maybe 300 Titans on there. So the fountain thing makes sense as a like deflection. Like, we need to figure this out. How are we going to get more numbers? How are we going to get more momentum? And then they just pivoted to doing structure cleanup. But pivoting to doing structure cleanup after a really big, you know, Pro God Legend doing his $1 million battle thing, Pro God Legend doing his, oh my God, I'm going to move 1,000 Titans thing, and the numbers weren't there.
Well,
so
you always got anything PGL says, you got to just cut in half. Get the right answer. So if he says 1,000, it was 500. He says 1,200, it was 600. You know. We lost 10,000 units today. It was only 5,000. But that's, I mean, but here is the other thing. And this is, you know, I was talking to one of the brave guys on Reddit the other day. And I want to just put this in perspective for you guys. If you go back and you listen to PGL and you listen to Billy in their State of the Alliance, whatever it was, the war kickoff speech, they made it abundantly clear that their goal was to, they had two goals. First goal was to destroy the goons as a factor in EVE Online. And the second goal was to make the Imperium break up. Okay? Their goal did not include taking Delve by Christmas. It didn't include clearing Fountain of every Keepstar. It didn't include letting Brave go out in Entosis, all of North Quirius, and then watch as it gets Entosis back and then act like they, you know, it doesn't matter. The whole point is they don't win this war unless by the end we all are no longer, you know, playing the game. So the longer that they take to do that and make that goal happen, the longer, the less likely it is that they're going to succeed. And I, frankly, I can't believe that they would have set that kind of a goal for themselves, because that's never, that's rare to happen. And especially not with a group that has the internal cohesion that the Imperium has. And as, no matter what they've tried to do, it just has not worked. You know, as long as we're keeping an army in the field, we're going to win.
Do you remember Billy's original war update? He said the only problem has been too much enthusiasm. I guess that really was their only problem.
That was their only problem.
And they can't slow down their plans and, like, you know, halfway deceive their line members by not reffing it again. Like, that must be the problem. Too much enthusiasm.
They also had the bestest and easiest move op they ever had, and they all had a grand old time there. Like, whatever, dude. Like, you know, they've lost the momentum. You guys don't have the numbers. I hope that you try to prove me wrong and get mad at the meta show because goon's bad. But again, I mentioned this
there's an easy way to prove you wrong, right? Like, there's such an easy way to prove you wrong.
Invade Delve.
Yeah, like, just blow up Keepsters. Come on. Do what you said you'll do.
Yeah, bring it.
Remove goons from the game.
I didn't even have them diverting the fountain on my bingo card.
That was just clearly because we made it such a pain to wrath those Keepstars.
I was surprised to see that too, but I guess after how many times of trying to do subcaps, I guess they figured they needed to bring the Titans in. But
I mean, if they hate the Keepstar defense fight, like if they hate the Keepstar fights, I have news for you guys. We have so many wonderful, wonderful things to show you in Delve. Like we know that you want to bait us into attacking your stuff because you don't like us defending our stuff, but we're the ones that are getting invaded, right? So if you want to do this, you're going to have to put your heavy assets on our Keepstar grid in an area that's within our super capital territory, right? If you want to finish this, if you want to actually succeed, other than, oh, well, goons called Fountain and Floodplain and we took Fountain, like maybe that's their off ramp. Maybe they're going to like try to divert here and say, you know, oh, we took Fountain. But you don't have the numbers. You don't have the strategic forces. Your members have been crying nonstop about how bad the Keepstars are. And that's one of the reasons why the Praxis Truthers are at this white hot froth, because Asher said the horrifying words, goons are not actually bad people. Goons are good. And that's what sent these people into a meltdown is that I think that they realize that their war is not working. Their progress has been stalling and stalling and stalling. And if you're a defender, time is always to your advantage. One of the things that I want to talk about, what's that?
No, but that's the thing. Like,
time's on our side.
Time is on our side, and the longer that it takes these guys to do it, every week that goes by with no progress being made, or us taking stuff back, or the 15,000th time they've ref the TCAG jump gate. I mean, at some point, people are going to stop logging in because it's like, why am I going to do this when I'm doing the same exact thing I did yesterday again today, and we never make any progress? We're all in the same place. Nothing has changed since week 3 or week 4 of the war, and we're on week, 9 now or something? I don't even know. I shouldn't say
that. You only have so much goodwill as an attacker.
Run out of steam. This last war, so Dunk Dingle in chat is saying the last war took 8 months. Yeah, but it's pretty clear that you guys don't really know how to run a war, like collectively speaking. Like, we know what happened with this, and it's story time here. This is something that I'll probably be posting in a war update soon. I think I mentioned this on the last show, but since we have people watching that maybe haven't like clued on this, we now know certain things are true that we had only suspected before that didn't make sense about how this war is working. We know that the enemy had to strike us because they were planning to have a plan. They didn't really have a plan to invade Delve. They were planning that after the NIP was out of the way, that Legacy and PanFam would team up and come at us, right? When we withdrew from Cloud Ring and we told the galaxy that they had this plan, it caught them by surprise, and they were forced to attack us before they had synced up their command chain, before they had synced up anything, really, because they hadn't had a real plan yet. They had a plan to have a plan, but they realized that they had to attack us then, because if they did not attack us when I got up here and said, you know, these nerds are all going to come at us and we're pulling out a cloud ring and we're going to go withdraw to Fortress Delve and get ready to deal with this, they knew that we would dig in, which we immediately started doing. And again, like defensive war, time is always on the defender side. And they realized that if they did not succeed, that if they didn't like break us, if we didn't cave in like a rotten melon, which obviously we didn't, it's made us a hell of a lot stronger, and I'm really happy with how things are going, that we would immediately turn and slit Legacy's throat. Right. So they kind of had to attack us, because if they didn't attack us, we would turn around and say, all right, motherfuckers, we saw what you were up to and we're coming for you. So we know that they were forced into this. And that's one of the reasons why this whole thing is funny. Right. I had normal meetings today. You know, we're not having crisis ops on a Saturday, like whatever. So you can talk about how wars last a long time and things like that. But the truth is that the leadership of our enemies aren't really used to doing this kind of thing. They're not used to doing Keepstar offense. They're used to Keepstar defense. That's one of the reasons this whole thing has faltered, because you guys have lost momentum because you bit off way more than you can chew. And I'm cool with it. Like, whatever. Like, well, this is, if we have to twiddle and wait and you guys go, oh, the war's going to take a long time, I don't know, fine by me. If you want to keep feeding puppies into the wood chipper all day, every day at this rate, whatever.
We got all the time in the world. Nobody's going outside. There's nowhere to go. Vacations. So yeah, let's take as much time as we want.
I know. You know, I am not intimidated. Let's put it like this. If your response to me saying that your side has not got a big enough Titan dick that you had to divert to Fountain, if your side is saying, oh, well, you know, this is going to be a long war and, you know, the last war took a long time, you're not doing a good job of intimidating me. You're not doing a good job of intimidating my people. We are ready. You know where to find us. We know you are faltering. You can lie to yourselves while you're going to Reddit and screeching about how goons are evil people, because on the meta show, I'm saying mean things about you after you have said mean things about me and my people. You can take, you want to give it, but you can't take it. But our people are not concerned. We do not feel pressured. We keep having days off to like rest and relax and get all charged back up. We watch you guys whining about how you hate the Keepstar fights. You wanted to attack all of these Keepstars, and yet you keep dodging the opportunity because you know that we enjoy it. It's a shitload of fun. Holy crap. Keepstar defense is the best thing ever. Obviously, if you bring your Titans to Fountain, we can't do Keepstar defense in Fountain because you want us to move our supercaps outside of Delve. You guys want to fight us in Delve? Come on into Delve. Please come into our parlor. But you're not fooling anybody except for yourselves when you say, oh, well, the wars last a long time. Yeah, we know, because
we've
lasted 3 years. Like, but we also know what a good long war looks like, and we know what success looks like. Yeah, they are not succeeding.
I think really what you're seeing here is that there's different factions, and it's not a surprise to anyone when you have the group this big. You know, they put three times as many people together to try and beat us, and you know, some people are preparing off ramps, right? When Fountain is totally burned, if they go home, they say, haha, made you leave Fountain, haha, burned the whole region. And this is one of their narratives, haha, showed initiative, you don't care about them. Like, that'll be what they say if it doesn't go well for them elsewhere, right? Mm-hmm. So there are narratives being prepared here, and everyone does this. I mean, it's not like we don't have the same thing. So, you know. But that's going to be a talking point. You okay there, Mittens?
Oh, I'm good. I'm just, you know, I'm so intimidated here by, oh, hey, by the way, war lasts 8 months, that it's messing with my digestion. Or actually, that was the Indian food I had earlier. There, yeah, man. It's just, I'm actually looking at chat here and trying to see. Let's see.
While you're looking at chat, why don't we get ready for our war update? We need to do a war update.
I'm excited.
It's about that time. So. All right, everybody, here we go with our war update change thing. And these cameras aren't working either. No cameras working anywhere. Everything is wrong. We've had nothing but problems on the Meta Show today. But I think part of the problem, part of the reason for the problems is that, as Fountain Frank, I have to say, Asher's post, it really hit me. It hit me. And really, I wanted to speak from the heart today. And I wanted to tell you guys that I just want to say that I'm a goon. And I'm here today to stand up for the rights of other goons. I mean, all our lives we've been laughed at and made to feel inferior. And right now, those blue donuts, they're trying to trash our house. Why? Because we're smart? Because we look different? Well, we're not. See, I'm a goon, and I'm pretty proud of it. We have news for the dinosaur people. There's a lot more of us than there are of you. And I know there are alumni here tonight. And when you played Eve, you might have been called a spaz or a dork or a geek. Any of you that have ever felt stepped on, left out, picked on, put down, whether you think you're a goon or not, why don't you come down here and join us, okay? Come on. Just join us, because no one's really going to be free until goon persecution ends.
Did I just get an inspirational speech from Fountain Freak?
I needed to say that. I needed to get that off my chest. Can't lose.
I hope that people are old enough to get the joke, because
I don't know if they did or not.
As somebody who's 42, like I grew up like watching those fucking movies, but I don't know if any of these guys actually caught it.
There's one other thing we wanted to do. All right, so besides the fact that we had the that little update from Fountain Frank, one of the things we talked about last week was what happened with the Wriggle Man and the fact that he did not know how to rig his damnations. Not once, but twice. So one of the things that I did, and I didn't tell Mittens I was going to do this, so I will apologize. Uh-oh. I don't ask for permission. I ask forgiveness. I stole one of the Elite Imperium FC training videos that we use to make sure that people know how to be like Elite Imperium FCs. And I'm going to leak it to you guys right now, right here on the Meta Show.
Whoa.
This is the stuff that teaches Asher how to be so good. All right? So I want you to see it, enjoy it, and get some dank leaks. Here we go. Congratulations, Capsuleer. You have been promoted to the esteemed position of Imperium Fleet Commander. You are now joining the ranks of some of the most storied content creators in EVE Online history. Men like Redline, I mean Dave Archer, Pittsburgh, and Clay Harkari. Now that you've finally arrived in New Eden, you have access to all of the super secret Imperium training videos in our library. This video series, which includes important topics like how many Titans should be dropped on a solo roaming Drake, and tildes and when to use them in opt-all pings, will help you take your FC skills to the next level. Be ready to take copious notes, because there will be a quiz later. Today's lesson, where are the rigs? As an FC, you need an FC ship, but not just any FC ship, the kind that will stay alive and help your friends. No, no, not the Ragnarok. What do you think this is, Theta Comms? No, no, big man, not the monitor yet. You're not ready for that kind of responsibility. Why not try something that's tanky, looks sexy, and has boosts? Correct. Let's get a damnation. Wow, look at that price tag. It's expensive, but you didn't make the ranks of the elite by being a poor now, did you? Now that you've got your damnation, you're ready to go and take on the dastardly forces of the Blue Donut Coalition, right? Just go ahead and undock. Wrong. You forgot the most important part of being an elite FC. That's right, young man. You didn't fit your rigs. Whenever you buy an FC ship off contract, remember to ask the most important question. Where are the rigs? That's right, FC. The rigs are in cargo. Your friendly logistics person even conveniently named your ship for you so you wouldn't forget. So let's dock back up here and try that again. Open your cargo bay, fit the rigs. And ta-da! You've got a properly fit damnation, ready to take on the worst that Billy and the Riggleman can throw at you. You'll also receive the added benefit of qualifying for SRP and not being made fun of on Reddit. Now you're ready to go take on the world. Good luck out there, Elite Imperium FC. The Mitanni expects that you will do your duty, and you don't want to let him down, do you? And there you go. That's how we train our FCs. They watch the videos. They know how to fit their ships.
When I started learning, God. I had to watch that like 5 or 10 times. It was they really drill it into you.
I hadn't seen that before. I wanted to make sure that I saw it. Wow, dude. Wow.
There you go. Thank you to Cryo for the opening scene and for the rest of Mini True for the help. But yes, that was that was the Fountain Frank Fun Fleet Foundation video, training video for the Imperium Elite FC training department. I know I shouldn't have, look, I know Frank shouldn't have leaked it. I apologize on his behalf. And I know that letting people realize that we have these types of secret videos out there, that's going to make them want to join the Imperium. So that was kind of the idea. Yeah. Because we'll train you, just like Asher. You too could be the 23rd best FC in the Imperium.
Listen, it's not very hard, to be honest. So maybe you can even go higher than that, you know? Wow. You know, I had to watch that video many times. And, of course, what we do is we have to write down Mitanni's real name. And there's
spell
a lot
it right?
Of... No, I have no idea. I just throw a bunch of vowels in there. Starts with a G. That's all I know. Pretty much that's the end of the whole name.
Oh, wow. I would normally say something here or have some sort of like a witty or just asshole thing to say. I don't know, depending upon the moment. But that broke my brain. I basically spent the last 3 minutes laughing my ass off hysterically. Every time I would start to calm down, there'd be another, wow, okay.
A little bit of Pancake Cat in there for you guys. All right, everybody. We're kind of at the end of the show.
Amazing. Wow.
Can I let you guys behind the curtain a little bit, though?
Go ahead. Yes, because we were going to do that anyway, so you need to do that. Yes.
Oh, no. This is not what you think it is.
All right. I have to let you in behind the curtain, too.
I'm going to expose Fountain Frank.
Uh-oh.
Have you guys seen Fountain Frank's very official-looking jacket with buttons? I'm going to tell you guys right now. It's got Velcro. There's Velcro behind it.
There totally is.
It's a total facade. It is like stone with a little fake marble on the front painted on. You have to know that this Fountain Frank character might not be telling 100% the truth. That's all I'm gonna say.
I don't know. I think he's pretty truthy. He seems truthy to me.
I feel that he's very truthy. He confirms my biases, and so thus he must.
That's all you need from a new show. What I wanted to let you guys behind the curtain is, I don't know. You can't tell how I'm going to be based on how I'm dressed, but we have a style guide for you all to give you an idea of what each meta show is going to be like from the very beginning. And what you need to do is you need to look at how my dear co-host, the Mitanni, is dressed. If he has a tie and a vest on, we are serious, good guy, nice guy Mitanni mode. If he's got the red shirt on, we're in herf blurf crazy spin mode. And if he's wearing the black shirt, then all bets are off. So just be prepared. So when you see the black shirt come out, you know, all right, that's the show where you may want to, like, you know, make sure the kids aren't around.
Yeah, cover the ears if you are a sensitive little snowflake and you happen to see me wearing black and you've said mean things about me or mine. I might say mean things about you, and then you might go cry on Reddit about it. But I shouldn't say that in that tone of voice, because I am serious business intellectual commentator, Mittens. And I want to give credit here also to Asher, because, like, I was never a wrestling guy, right? Like, it's never, like, grew up watching professional wrestling or anything about that. And when Asher, like, I think Asher was the one who was like, you are basically like a wrestling promoter. And, like, and he told me this was, I think, within just the last 2 months or so, he was like, you're basically doing what Vince McMahon does. And I'm like, my God, you're right. I need to turn this up to 11, right? And so that's kind of like the thing where you're like, okay, once you dial it in, you know that I'm supposed to follow that archetype when I'm herfing blurfs on a show like this. You know, we do have color coded. It's literally like, it's going to be, if we're going to be serious and intellectual and, like, high minded and, like, talk about serious, earnest things, it will be a blue suit show as opposed to your standard issue herf blurf, which is red, and black is twisting the knife and you done fucked up. And I'm going to relentlessly run a train over any puppies that fucked with us when I'm wearing black. So there you go. There is actually, it's not just that I'm up here and spewing things. Like, we do put a little thought into that, so you guys can know what to expect. Next week will probably be a red shirt meta show, but if we have some sort of amazing victory, it'll be, I like the black shirt ones. I have to say, like, the taking the gloves off. That's fun for me, but, all right. I think that's I got nothing. That Fountain Frank, like, that video broke my brain. I keep trying to not laugh. I can't get my mind back around to anything serious business. That was,
well, it's good that we did it, as always, at the end of the show. Therefore, we are right on time. Gentlemen, I want to thank everybody for joining us this week. This was, as we said, a very special episode of the Meta Show. We had some feels in the beginning. We had a little bit of herp blurfs. We had a good Fountain Frank video. We had all the ingredients needed to stir up a good old Meta Show for you all this week, and I'm glad you could join us. Asher Elias from Goons Forum, the Mitanni, and Brisket Bowl, and we're going to be signing off. Pine cones to Linda Est, and you stay classy, New Eat.